I had a really, really stressful day today. And you know what's so cool? I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I've known Gabe for a while. And I see him walk in here with a suit and tie on, celebrating his 1 year, and like a smile just like bolts to my face. Because like this guy has just like a whole new life today. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. I wouldn't be able to do any of the things that I do, having the relationships that I have, or anything without Alcoholics Anonymous and God. And I was sitting there thinking about how stressed I was today, thinking about, you know, how I need to spend more time with God in those scenarios. What's really cool is I got to, like, call my dad, who, like, would have talked to me when I got sober, but I got to, like, call and talk to him, and he, like, talked me off the ledge. I was like, I'm going to go burn this place down. And he's like, no, you don't need to do that. But you can just take different actions. And I was like, well, I feel like I did the right thing, and these people are treating me poorly. And he's like, just because you do the right thing doesn't mean that people are going to treat you the right way. And that's okay. But being an Alcoholics Anonymous, I've gotten to do some amazing things. And I asked Nick to speak for me. And some of the amazing things you get to do is, like, watch people just absolutely change their lives and get, like, married and, like, have wonderful, amazing lives and relationships with people. And I've gotten to watch Nick do that. And I call him a bad friend, but he's actually a really good friend. And I love him dearly. So here's Nick. Sober on August 7th, 2016. I was here on my anniversary last year, which was pretty cool. And I have a sponsor, I have a home group, it's the Wednesday men's group, Bay Shore Baptist. And, you know, it's a very beautiful thing in this program for the people who continue to seek. I was in a group chat with guy today, and unfortunately also his wife, because he just can't stop drinking. And like that's the other side of this. And that's what we get as alcoholics, a chance to help with. And seeing like a guy like Marlon, you know, he's got a strong personality. And I rest in dispute my own. What I've seen him do for me in my time in this city is force a friendship on me when I revert back to who I actually am, which is an isolation master. And all I want to do is play PlayStation, and I don't want to talk to you. I might not pick up your phone call, and probably not going to text you back for a couple of business days. But he forces that on me. He makes me do things I don't want to do. Like, that's something that is fundamentally helped to change my life. He planned and wouldn't let me pay for any of my bachelor party in Vegas, and tolerated my insane, wild-haired friend who was drinking at that time, but that's fine. But, you know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was just a kid. I was a kid who had no life skills. And people in AA did and continue to teach me how to be a person, how to be a man, right? I learned how to be a husband in this program. I learned how to be a son. I learned how to be a friend, kind of, sometimes. Right? But I learned these things because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't have that out there, right? Everything I have was transactional. You give me, I give you, that's it. You don't have for me, I don't have you in my life. That's what my life was, you know? When I was thinking about the first time I drank the way I like to drink, which was a different story than the first time I drank. So that was with my brother the first time I drank. But the first time I drank the way I like to drink, I was in my basement by myself playing Skate 2 on Xbox Live at an Xbox Live party with guys in my school. I was a kid who got bullied every single day in high school. I was a kid who took myself extremely seriously. I could not take a joke. These guys jumped on me from the jump, right? From the very first day I was there, they were on me like whatever things are on other things. I remember this particularly well because I found like a bottle of vodka in my garage, which my parents just like had, didn't drink ever. Used for cooking, which I think is fucking stupid, but that's fine. And I found it, and I drank it, and I filled a mug that I got from Disney World when I was 7, the Animal Kingdom mug that I used for hot chocolate usually until that point. And I drank it completely straight, didn't even taste it. I didn't even know that was impressive until I started actually drinking. I was like, how the fuck did I do that? But I got it all down, and I got to a level of intoxication, and I was like, I don't know if I can control this anymore. This keeps getting worse. I couldn't sit up in the couch, and I go upstairs. There's a hardwood floor in my parents' room at the top of the stairs. It's right to the left of the stairs. And I walk right by the staircase, and I fall on my face outside of the hardwood floor. My mom comes outside. She says, are you drunk? I'm like, yeah, probably. Probably, yeah, make that assessment. But they put me to bed, and you know, the next day I was grounded, obviously, like forever and always, right? And they had taken all my video games away, which to me was devastating. And, they put me in therapy. My therapist always told me I drank too much, which I was offended by for most of the time. But you know, I remember because my mom had to stay up. She had to work the next day. She had to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, just dealing with me because I'm a wanderer. Right, it's an open foyer in my house. If I wander, I fall over the foyer and like hurt myself, right? I threw up all over my bed. They had to clean it up. They had to put it in the wash at 3 a.m., right? And all of this stuff is like over here because all I thought about was the fact that I was in this party chat with these guys from school and they made fun of me and I didn't give a shit. And every time I drank from that point forward, I only thought, if only the kids at school could see me like this, then they'd understand. Alcohol was my solution. I came to AA, I thought it was the problem. That was my immediate thought. If I stop drinking, cocaine's fine, but if I stop drinking, I'm gonna be okay. And they said, if you think that your problem is alcohol, it's a very simple solution to stop drinking. I said, yes, that's why I'm here. Tell me how to do that. Right? And I said, alcohol is not your problem, Meg. I'm the problem. You're the problem. Right? Alcohol was the answer, and I know it's the answer because every single time it does the same thing for me. And I don't have to ask it to do it. I just pay money for it. And I know what I'm going to get. And fundamentally, it is the simplest solution to this thing that goes on in my head. And that's why I know I'm an alcoholic, because I will go back to that. If I don't have anything else, I go to that because it's easy and it's quick, right? My life got fundamentally worse from there. I think by my presence here, it's probably obvious, but fundamentally it got worse. Eventually, I started to drink. I was a college kid when I got sober. I had no money. I drank when I could. I stole booze. You know, scraped it by, I took it when I could get it, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I know for a fact, if I had money, I'd be drinking every day, right? And eventually it got to a place where I would wake up, or I woke up on a particular day, and I had feelings like this before. I had felt in the past, like, why, Nick? Like, why? Why did you pour beer in your girlfriend's head? Well, it was a pool party, so there's a pool. She can go in the pool. Right? Why? Why do we do these things? And the first thought was always that. Why? Fuck, dude. What's going on with you? And the second thought that happened consecutively to that first one was always, well, if you drink, you're not going to worry about it. You can probably do this tomorrow if you want to, if at all. You know? And I eventually had a day that was so bad that that second thought never came, but I am an alcoholic and I run away from discomfort. And I was extremely uncomfortable because everybody was mad at me. And so what do? I sit frozen in my bed until somebody had the kindness to reach out to me and say, Nick, you know, there's a group on campus for kids who have a problem with drugs and alcohol. And he said, you should. This is where it is and this is when it is. But he didn't tell me to go to it. He just told me when, told me where. Because if he told me to go, he doesn't get it. He doesn't know me. He don't tell me what to do. Right, like that's how fast that ego re-engages for me.
But I went to this, and it was me and this guy named Dylan, who's from Massachusetts, who shot heroin. And he told me about that. I'm like, oh, no. I didn't do that. Sorry. But he told me about how he felt. He told me about the way that he felt about life, right? And that was the first time, from a one-to-one perspective, I understood somebody in a moment of pain who had what I have. I didn't know it at that time, but that is the first time. And so I got his number, and I went to a meeting in Town and Country, and I drove around the church for 25 minutes because he wasn't there yet, and I had to wait for him to get there because I didn't want to get spotted in the parking lot. But I go in there, and I listen to a guy who was older than me at the time who talked about his kids, his wife, his dog, his house, his lawn, and all the shit that I didn't have. And so I categorically just disqualified myself as being an alcoholic. I didn't have quite the resume yet to be in this group with all of you. I have to get the stuff so I can lose the stuff, so I can go to AA. That's how I thought about this shit, right? And so I go to a couple more meetings. I hang out with my buddy, who at the time just happened to sell drugs. Was also my friend also. Wasn't just my dealer, but that was the perk. And he eventually had to drink again. And it got worse. And I learned every single time that I drank, I want to get drunk. I don't drink for the taste. I don't get it. I don't know why people do it. It bothers me endlessly. I drink because I want the effects produced by alcohol. It talks about it in the book, right? But I never wanted to get that drunk. Man, I wish I had one less than that one that I had that made everything better, right? I had a relationship, and I lost the relationship. She found me and passed out outside of Jimmy John's with the Jimmy John's owner trying to get me arrested, and that didn't end well eventually, so that burned out. And eventually, I was just ready to get sober. Eventually, something happened that was so profound that I was ready to get sober. I was sitting in a Mexican restaurant with a woman, and my mom, who was flying in from New York, who I was an hour and a half late to pick her up from the airport because I was drunk the night before. I'm sitting in this Mexican restaurant, and my great idea, because this woman had seen me drunk 2 days before this, and she had seen what kind of nightmare I'd become when I'm drunk. She said, my idea was I was going to use her car to move in with my buddy. And she said, how about, like, instead of that? She said, last night, I made some phone calls. And she said, if you say yes, I got you a bed in a treatment center in Miami. And if you say yes, we'll go on Monday. And I've had this proposition before. Everyone thought I was fucking alcoholic. So I'm always getting told to do shit like go to rehab and go to AA. And so I was like, every time I thought that, it didn't even seem like an option until that time. And that time I said, Nick, if you don't do this, I think you're going to die. Which was the first time I ever had that thought. And I told her I'd think about it. Maybe, you know. But the next day I drank for the last time was the day I graduated from college somehow. Three majors later, about an extra semester later. But I drank that night, and then I packed the next day, and then the day after that I was sitting in rehab. And I walked into a meeting, and the first meeting I went to in North Miami, the guy who was speaking, he's one of my very close friends today, he talked about the way that he thinks about life. The fact that he walks into a room and thinks everybody's looking at him when no one cares. The fact that when he is sober, he thinks he's bothering everybody, but then when he's drunk, he actually is bothering everybody, but thinks he's not bothering anybody, which is me. And I, you know, I'm a firm believer that like 1, 2, and 3, they happen organically. At least they did for me, at least 1 and 2, right? Because in that moment, I'm like, oh, that guy, yeah, he's got, I got that. I know what that is. I know that feeling. I got to do what they do. It's very simple. I got the thing. Maybe I should do the things that they did because they also have the thing, it seems like. They understand this thing that I thought I was going to take to my grave. I don't think anybody was going to do that. That's so fundamentally different about me, right? That's what I thought. And he got it the first time I heard somebody talk on this program. So I got a sponsor, and we worked the steps. And what it looks like for me is working the steps is very simple. I listen to what the fuck he tells me to do, and I just do it. Wow. Look at that. But it's so difficult though. It really is. For anybody who's struggling with the steps, like it's very understandable because what they're asking from me is to be consistently uncomfortable in a manner by which I have never been before. They say, be uncomfortable, write out all your shit. Tell me the good stuff and the bad stuff and the stuff that might make you say, ew. And tell me about it. You don't even know me, right? But I did all that stuff. And eventually I got to a place where I was able to help other people. And I'll tell you, for anybody who is working through this program and trying to understand where the gifts come from, for me it wasn't when I did the steps myself. For me it was when I was looking at my first sponsee who went through the steps with me. And he looked at me in the coral room in Ponce de Leon, Coral Gables, and he said, that happened. And when we talked about the 10-step promises, that's happening sober then. That's the kind of stuff we see in this program. That's the miracle. The other side's not great, but that's what the miracle looks like. And when I moved here, if I'm really being honest, I didn't want to be friends with anybody here. Just, I got a girlfriend. I do all the stuff they tell newcomers like not to do, right? Get the girlfriend, go to like 2 meetings a week. Not helping people. I had like one sponsee fleeting for like 3 weeks and then he left. And I was upset all the time. And the first call I made when I was really going through it on a particular day, it wasn't to my sponsor, it wasn't to my birth mom, who's also sober, who I use in my network as well. I called Marlon. I said, I don't know what to do, man. I'm sitting in my car in the parking lot of my apartment, and I am so unhappy with my life right now. Everything's going well. Why? And he talked it through with me for an hour. And ever since that point, I got to see somebody just consistently strive to be a better version of themselves and achieve things as a result of being a better version of themselves. Somebody who puts others first. I'm talking about my personal experience with Marlon. Puts me first when he's talking to me, reaches out to me. And I know his story. For his story, you know that doesn't seem like that's how he was when he got started. My life today is good. I got married 3 weeks ago. She's tied down to me. She has that burden to bear for the rest of her life. I got a new job. These are all just things, right? I got, you know, all the cool stuff. But what happens for me today is whenever I feel disturbed and I feel uneasy, I know what my invariable solution can be. I tell somebody, I ask God, I want to remove it, and I turn my attention to someone else I can help. And it's as simple as that. And if it doesn't go away right now, I still know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in this program. That's what keeps me here. That's what keeps me sober. And I really have nothing much else to say, so I'm going to shut up. Thanks.